Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening and welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. And we've got a great show coming up for you, but first we want to thank some of the sponsors that help make the show possible.
We certainly do. We'd like to thank them. Battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, the New Edge Seafood Shed at the top of the hill in Spanish Fort, which is the official sponsor of my tirades, and Serenity Funeral Homes and Gardens.
And, of course, we want to thank all of our sponsors and you, our great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And, of course, SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion on Facebook or follow me on X. It's at Cal_SBN. And, of course, you can always check out ScuttlebuttNetwork.com for more information on the topics of the day. Coming up later on SBN, we'll speak with one of our legal eagles from the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ms. Brooke Thomas. She will get us up to speed on the legal issues facing our veterans today. And also Tom's tirade on absolutely zero functionality. You don't want to miss that. But first, it is a pleasure to be joined on SBN by a great patriot and a friend from the gastrointestinal empire that started with a sandwich and is taking over faster than the commies at Columbia. The guardian of the grill, the jala and the pino, the captain of the cook, the rice and the roni, the ribeye of the tiger, the man who makes the big guy give him 10%, sweetness himself, Mr. Nick DiMario. Nick, welcome back to SBN, and thank you and your crew for your service to our veterans, military, and first responders.
Man, that intro is just getting better every week.
Well, it's it's all true, though, Nick.
I am just a humble servant.
I hear you, brother. Well, listen, you're a humble servant to all of our customers on the Gulf Coast here at the fabulous restaurants that you're owner and run it here, and what you're doing for our veterans and first responders, we just want to say thank you. And you start that out with this year at Armed Forces Day, and Saturday by having an event at the Ed Seafood Shed. Give us a little enlightenment about your day of duties and things that's going to happen over there.
Yeah. So each year, 3 years ago when we had Ed's on the causeway, we decided we were going to pick a senior veteran of the year who stands for excellence, for supporting the military. And you were actually the first recipient.
Thank you, sir.
And then we had the fire. So we'll actually be representing a plaque to you this weekend on Saturday, 11:30. And then we're also honoring Bubba, the 96-year-old veteran that you introduced me to that was in a bunch of wars, and I sat there and listened to his story with his family and his about the being in the military and his wives, and we were all brought to tears. And I said, you know, we need to bring this back, and Saturday we're going to honor him. And I believe they said they're going to have five generations
of his family will be there.
Folks there. And so we're going to start the day off with a pancake breakfast supporting the Spanish Ford Band, which that's how we do fundraisers with pancake breakfasts. And then they're going to play a few songs, and then we're going to do the presentation presenting Bubba with the second annual Ed Seafood Senior Military Support Award winner. So it's a cool thing. We got a lot of cool things going on. Then the rest of the day we'll do a shrimp boil until it's gone and happy hour. So we're going to have a party.
It's going to be neat. Well, you know, we actually are going to have another event at the battleship, but we'll be prior to that for their Armed Forces Day event. And we were going to have it outside under a tent, but with the rain that's coming, we're going to have it inside in the pavilion. So all the people that's going to be there at 10 o'clock for that presentation, all of our veterans and everything that's there, Brother Lou Lartigue, the president of South Alabama Veterans Council, will be in charge of that detail over there. So it's going to be a really neat event, and we're going to have it inside. The weather's not going to bother us.
Yeah, we'll be inside at Ed's, and we'll have plenty of food and plenty of drink and plenty of festivities. And I think people who support the military, they need to come out and shake Bubba's hand.
Yes.
He's got a lot of stories to tell, and he should be super honored, as well as yourself and all that y'all do as far as supporting the military. We got some cool other stuff that I can't even talk about right now for this upcoming year that we're going to try to do at the waterfront and really in support of the military that I think will be a big thing. But that's to be announced.
Right, right. Well, we know how sincere you are about our veterans, and we also recognize the fact that you lost a nephew there, a recon Marine, due to a suicide. And I know that it's near and dear to your heart to do everything that you guys can for veterans.
Yeah, absolutely. We're actually going to be constructing a monument statue at the back of the waterfront facing Mobile that we're going to commission an artist to do, and it's going to be the John Seeley Award.
Awesome.
And dedicated to him and all the folks that have served. And yeah, it's Pizza Meth Lord. He's got some trips that he's doing across the pond to feed troops all over. It's very near and dear to my heart, as well as the people who protect us, even domestically. So, you know, it's just, we're in big support of that.
Man, I tell you what, it's just neat to see you guys doing this. And I know you've done a lot of money-raising events for people, even like in Fight or Die. And that has become one of your big people or teams that you support. And you have a different event there for them. And I know you've had some other events for other veterans. And it's we're very appreciative of you guys stepping up and making all this stuff available to our veterans. And I never go in there. I don't see the places full of veterans as well. So, and you know, and y'all step up and you give them a veterans discount. And that's neat too.
Yeah, in every one of our restaurants we have some type of homage that pays tribute to the armed services. In the back of Ed's, we have an entire room, the waterfront, our new restaurant over there on One Yacht Club Drive. We have a big military room. You know, it's just everybody needs to try to give back, and as well as just celebrate the people who protect that wall.
Well, you know. So that we need to appreciate the ones that gave everything for us so that we could have everything that we have. And we'd like to, you know, thank them. And as I say, we're appreciative to our vets.
Absolutely. And we got a whole lot going on this summer, so we hope all the vets will come and drive down and check out the Gulf Coast. And we've got every one of our restaurants. It starting this week, it becomes a party. You got music, you got fun, you got bushwhackers, you got breakfast and some, you got plenty of Gulf Coast seafood. This is our time, and we wait for this every year, and it's the Super Bowl for about 4 months, and we're excited about it, and got some new tricks up my sleeve for the waterfront, with a little bit of new menu items, black and ribeye with goat cheese, a caramelized onion topped with a chimichurri.
Oh my God.
Fried flounder topped with an aioli, and just on and on and on.
On and on and on. And it's all good. Thank you for what you do, Nick.
Thank you, Tom. See you Saturday.
All right. See you, buddy. Take care.
Bye-bye.
For more information on the other side of the break, Ms. Brooke Thomas from the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberley.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Hey, and if you like to listen on demand, you can also catch our regularly aired programs on the FM Talk 106.5 app for your smartphone or media devices. And Tom's Tirade is up on castbox.fm if you need to get your blood pressure going. And it's always a pleasure to be joined on SVN by one of our C lawyers from the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberley, Ms. Brooke Thomas. Brooke, thank you for joining us, and thank you for all you that you do for our veterans.
Thank you all so much for having me.
It's a pleasure, because you guys are always very informative. Jennifer Byrd, one of the other legal eagles from over there, was on here with us, about a month or so ago. And she started talking to us about the Guard Act.
Yes.
And claims sharks.
Yes.
Would you elaborate on that a little bit more?
Yes. And she talked about that a lot, because there's this legislation that's going through, folks are trying to get passed, because what's happening is, for us, we're attorneys, right? And just to lay some groundwork there, even though we're attorneys, I went to law school, took the Alabama bar, I'm covered by all those ethics. For me to present any evidence to the VA, to get access to a file and to represent somebody before the VA, I had to apply to the VA's Office of General Counsel, show them that I was in good standing with the bar and that I was a reputable person, for them to say, okay, yes, you can represent people before the VA.
Right.
And their office keeps a record of this. If you're not a lawyer, you can actually take a test. That takes a lot longer. But you can take a test and become an accredited agent. And so for the VA to do that, they're kind of keeping an eye on things, right? They're saying these folks are reputable. And VA regulations define how we can get paid, how much we can charge, what's reasonable. And we can't charge people that come to us and say, I want to file a brand new claim for PTSD or a brand new claim for prostate cancer. VA says you can't charge for that initial application if it's never been denied before. And we don't, because it's not ethical.
You could still file for it, though.
We can absolutely still file for it, but we can't charge you a fee for it. Now, we can charge you a fee once we get past that, and I do want to talk a little bit about that. But what's happening is, with these claim sharks people, they're coming along and advertising their services and telling veterans, oh, we'll help you. You pay us X percent, 5% more, 5 times more what we get you. So if you used to get 30%, you take the difference between what you were at and where you end up, you multiply that by 5 or 10 times, and you pay us that quote unquote flat fee. We'll help you get your evidence. We'll help you put everything together. We'll help you fill out your application. And on the surface, that sounds great. But these folks are not accredited. And they are circumventing the VA's rules, and they're making all these kind of pie-in-the-sky promises, we feel, because they say, you want to file for that? Well, we can send this over to this doctor. We can get you 70%. We'll get it done in 6 months.
No.
Well, if it's one thing that I've learned, I've been doing this for 15 years now, you can't make promises on behalf of other people.
Right.
And you definitely can't make promises on behalf of the VA.
Hell no.
Because they're not going to get it done that fast.
6 months either.
And you can present the best evidence in the world, and you can't guarantee that the VA's going to grant it.
Right.
Right? I mean, at the end of the day, there's some person at the VA looking at your claim who's going to look at that evidence, decide if it's credible. And it's just circumventing the rules. These folks have not proven to the VA that they're reputable people, that they're entitled to present claims. And because they're not accredited, they don't fall under the jurisdiction without the GUARD Act. The VA can come back and say, oh, you're not supposed to do this, but there's no real
right. When they already have a signed contract.
Right. There's no real law for them to enforce the fact that these unaccredited people are filing these claims. And they can't get the kind of access that we get to files. Like, if you come see us and we take your case, one of the very first things we're going to have you sign is a power of attorney that VA creates. It's one of their forms that it limits the power of attorney to us representing you. We can then go into the VA's system. We can see your whole file. We can see all the evidence.
Okay.
And they don't have that. So a lot of times
they don't have access to that.
They don't have access to that because they're not accredited, right? And so if they tried to send one of those forms in, VA is going to kick it back out and say, hey, you're an unaccredited person trying to gain access.
Right.
You know, we can't give you that. And so a lot of times they'll tell people, oh, well, just give us your login. Give us your VA password. And then they do this little bit of work for you and say, oh, hey, you owe us thousands of dollars.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, now I've heard some cases where, let's say, for instance, if you do file a legal VA claim with a legal certified representative, then they say that that lawyer can only get, is it 20%?
Absolutely. So there are some differences. There's 20% in all of our, that's how we do it. So the reason we do that is if it's anything up to 20%, VA will withhold that. They'll pay it directly to us. And that only comes, one, if you win your case.
Right.
And two, it comes out of your back pay.
Well, yeah.
It comes out of that lump
sum
payment.
That's what I wanted
payment.
You to define, yeah.
Yes.
Doesn't have anything to do with your monthly benefit.
Nothing to do with your monthly benefit or your check. But so, say it takes a year for us to appeal your claim and win it. A lot of times it takes a lot longer than that.
Does.
Let's be realistic. But just for simplicity, and you were getting no money for that whole year, right? Well, if they find that you're entitled to benefits, they owe you that whole 12 months of whatever payment that they should have been
paying
you.
The
VA does.
Right.
So they'll calculate that up, and they will withhold 20% of it. They'll pay it directly to us, usually about 3 months later. They'll release your money to you unless you're retired. It gets tricky. I think Nathan Guin, one of my colleagues, talked about that a month or so ago. But they release that money to you, and they just take 20% out for us, and they pay it directly to us. You don't have to come back and pay us every month.
Right.
We don't get anything out of your monthly benefit check.
But let's just for example, if you filed a case and it was 12 or this, and they didn't do anything with it until 12 months, then they would owe you $1,200 for a total back pay if they allocated you, using round figures, $100 a month from your VA.
Right.
Well, I think the smallest one you can get.
Yeah, the smallest one.
$160 or something now.
Yeah, 10% now.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 10%. So, you're only going to get 20% of that $1,200.
That's right.
Then y'all don't touch the other money that they're going to start getting.
Right. We don't touch any of that.
And the check comes direct to the lawyers, and y'all pass it right on, put it in their bank account.
It goes. The VA puts it right in their bank account.
The VA does it.
If they already have your bank account and your routing number, 9 times out of 10, that is how
That's where you did it with my brother.
That's how a veteran knows, first off, is
when he gets his
check. Deposit. That deposit shows up in there, and some of them are big, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not going to create unrealistic expectations,
I know
some
people.
Some of them are real big.
I know some people that had filed cases, and they got 50, 60%, or even 70%. And, I mean, they might get $70,000 to $80,000 in bank.
It adds up because it takes the VA a long time to do anything, and then they owe you that money.
Sure. But then they shouldn't be having to give a one of these sharks or the 40-50% of that or five times that.
Right.
Or five times the $100 that they're going to get a month. That's all BS, guys, so be careful with that.
Yeah, be careful because these people make promises, and I try to be realistic. I can make promises about what we can do for you, about the evidence that we can collect, about the legal arguments we can make, but I can't make promises that it's going to get done in X amount of time.
Right. No way. What are some of the green flags that they need to look for?
I think that if you look up on the Office of General Counsel's website for VA, you can find out right there if the person's accredited. You can go and you can type me in. Now, tricky question. My first name is Ashley, so I show up as Ashley Thomas, but I promise I am there.
Okay.
I go by my middle name. But all of our attorneys are. You can look us up. We're there. So that's a quick way to check and see, hey, is this person I'm talking to accredited by the VA to handle my claim? You know, look at those promises. Are they being realistic with you? Are they giving, even if it's maybe not what you want to hear, does it have the ring of truth to it, you know?
Yeah.
And then lastly, you know, is that reasonable, the fee that they're charging? They should be able to tell you exactly what's in their contract and what it means and why you're signing it.
And we're going to take a short break here, and we'll come back, and we'll have Brooke on again with us. But you can always go to scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. And on the other side of the break, we will continue with Ms. Brooke. And when we return to the Scuttlebutt.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret.
Hit a lick against what's wrong, or say a word for what's right, even though you get walloped for saying that word. Now, I may sound like a Bible beater yelling up a revival at a river crossing camp meeting, but that don't change the truth none. There's right and there's wrong. You gotta do one or the other. You do the one and you're living. You do the other and you may be walking around, but you're dead as a beaver hat.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters, along with Tom Claxton. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today.
And we certainly want to thank all the fine folks that continue to help make this show possible. The battleship, USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer, Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gordberg and Kimberly, the New Ed Seafood Shed on top of the hill in Spanish Fork, Viva Medicare of Alabama, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And hey, before we jump back into the conversation with Brooke, I think you mentioned it, but I do want to reinforce that the Armed Forces Day event this Saturday, due to the possibility of inclement weather, it's going to be held in the airplane pavilion. Isn't that right?
Right. That's correct. And yeah, we're going to get there around 9:30, and the event will crack it at 10 o'clock sharp.
Good. Yeah. All right, yeah, I just wanted to make sure I saw that notice, and you don't want to play around with some of the storms that we've been having with all the lightning being out there at the battleship park out in the open.
So. Right, that is so true. We Lou was able to check that out and made the final decision this morning. I think that he wasn't going to take a chance on it, and so they went ahead and moved it inside the pavilion.
Great. And of course, that event is open to the public as well.
Yes, it is open to the public.
Yep. And everybody can roll out of there and head over to Ed's.
There you go. Once you leave there, we'll head over to Ed's and check this ward out for Brother Horace Bubba Jackson here and from a 96-year-old Marine, World War II China Marine, and a chosen Reservoir Marine. He's done both of them. He's bad.
I was about to say, talk about, living history.
Yes.
Right here in Mobile.
I sit and listen to him, and I just sit there, I have to get me a towel, because I sit there and cry, man, listen to all the stuff that he went through and things that happened to him. But it's just unbelievable. Looking forward to seeing him get his award tomorrow.
That is remarkable. Well, on Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday, my bad.
Yeah. There you go. But, hey, again, we are chatting with Miss Brooke, Ashley Brooke Thomas, I guess.
Ashley Brooke Thomas.
I go by my middle name as well. I got the curse of being a junior.
Yes.
But from the law firm of Gardberg and Kimmerly, Brooke, thank you again for all that you do and your team there at Gardberg do for our veterans.
Well, thanks.
Yep.
I kind of, before the break, we were talking about those claim sharks, and I thought I would talk about some of the other sort of substantive issues we're seeing a good bit of, too, in our practice. And we're seeing VA starting to schedule a lot of predetermination hearings, they call them, and informal conferences. And those are things where they're not the hearings, the big hearings in front of the judges, but they're just informal conferences with folks who work at the VA. And they come up usually one of two ways. If VA is going to try to reduce your benefits, they got to send you a letter that says, hey, we've looked at your file. We think that your foot is better, and we're going to reduce it. We're proposing to reduce it. They give you 30 days to ask for one of these informal predetermination hearings.
Where do we find
that? They'll send a letter.
Yeah, but how are we going to do that?
It doesn't have to be on any specific form from the VA. Usually do them on statements in support of claim. We'll just send something quickly back up there that says, hey, we got your proposal. We don't think it's better. We want a hearing on that. And it'll kind of pause things. They won't reduce your check while you're waiting for that hearing. They really won't do anything. Kind of puts a pin in it. But then they'll schedule this hearing, and they'll usually do them by Teams, Microsoft Teams they use a lot of. And we will talk folks through about what to expect. We'll get their medical records. Look at what VA is looking at. Why do they think that it's better? What do they think has changed? And then we have rooms set up in our office that are dedicated to virtual hearings, whether it's board hearings. We do Social Security hearings in there.
Okay.
We do these VA informal hearings, and we've just been seeing them reach out and schedule a lot more of those.
Okay.
Sometimes on appeals, when we do higher level reviews, they'll schedule them as well and just ask, hey, what's your argument on this? Why are you appealing this? Like, what's your position? We submit written argument, but they do also sometimes do informal conferences on those, and those can be done by phone.
Well, used to, you'd have to go to it's Atlanta or Birmingham or,
Montgomery
or somewhere. Mm-hmm.
Jackson, if you were, down here. And that's a haul.
It is.
To get to that regional office, especially for our panhandle vets. Back when I first started doing this, you had to go to St. Petersburg.
Oh, my Lord.
For some of this stuff.
Yeah.
That's a haul down there if you live in Pensacola.
So I know that y'all have bought an additional building, and you've converted some of those rooms to these special viewing rooms.
We dedicate those rooms for that, and that's all those rooms are there for. It's in a suite by itself. They have acoustic tiles in there. They have large TV screens. So now you don't have to drive, two and a half hours to go and essentially do the same thing, talk to a person over a TV screen. It's kind of silly. So that is one silver lining that COVID brought about that everybody fast-forwarded to that virtual, setup.
So if y'all are taking care of the VA's or the veterans' claims, then is that part of your deal?
It's part of what we do. I mean, it's rare that I've seen one where we didn't challenge it.
Right.
Because usually VA doesn't apply their own laws correctly when they try to reduce somebody's benefit.
Well, you got to realize that some clerk up there decided, well, let's cut this guy's benefits,
Right.
Maybe his foot's healed now. He's able to get around.
One bad CMP. But the truth is.
So what is that?
Oh, at this compensation and pension exam where CMP. They send you out. They're all done those by those contractors now. So if you've had one recently, they used to do them in-house, but for the last several years, Okay. They do them. They send them out to these contractors, and you get one bad one. But the truth is, if you got real bad arthritis in your knee, it's probably not going to get better.
It's not
going to
get better, no.
So we like to challenge those and make VA justify why they're trying to reduce benefits.
All right.
And the other topic I just wanted to bring to your attention is we've had a few questions about this, about particularly widows and widowers' claims,
Yes.
There are lots of rules about who is a qualifying widow, how long your marriage had to be. And one of the biggest ways that you qualify, or I'll say biggest, but most common ways folks will qualify for benefits, if you have a veteran who passes away and the cause of death is something that's service-connected, then their widow, assuming they were married long enough, can collect a benefit. Now, it's not that veteran's check. It's a separate benefit.
Right now, it's about
$1,600.
Yeah. It can be up to $1,600.
Up to $1,600. Sometimes it can go up a little bit, depending on how long the veteran was rated 100% or if they were. But a lot of people call and they ask, and there are veterans who never filed a claim.
Okay.
Or perhaps never got a chance to file a claim because they passed away of something that's listed in the PACT Act.
Okay.
So then their question becomes, well, you know, my wife or my husband never filed for those benefits.
Right.
They never filed for that lung cancer.
Can they do that now?
They can't file for them, but you can still file for those widow's benefits.
Okay.
And just show and make the argument, well, they never filed for it while they were living, but it's something that we know now is related to those burn pits.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So they don't have to have been service connected for it while they were living, especially if it's something presumptive.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Then they need to just get in touch with Gardberg and Kimberly.
So you can reach us online at GardbergLaw.com. You can call us here locally in Mobile, 251-343-1111. And through our website, you can see our bios of all our attorneys. You can email us. So lots of ways to reach out. And our office, like I said, we have a physical office here in Mobile, and we're, happy to be local.
And if they want to check out to see if you guys are certified, they can go to
They can go to the VA's Office of General Counsel's website.
Okay.
Yep.
That's at va.gov?
It's part of va.gov. I'm bad. I'll go to Google. OGC accreditation. It pulls it right up.
Okay.
And then you type our names in.
What kind of accreditation?
VA is the Office of General Counsel, OGC. They can look us up. We're all accredited, I promise.
Okay. All right. Well, and that one of the reasons we appreciate you guys working with us is we'd like to promote the fact that you are certified VA attorneys. And you can always go to scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. And on the other side of the break, you'll get my tirade.
The following may not necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station, but they're coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
Last year, First Lady Michelle Antoinette proclaimed that the U.S. having more than 58,000 homeless veterans was a stain on the soul of this nation. As the federal government expanded its initiatives to provide stable and affordable housing for service members, she said, quote, "As Americans, the idea that anyone who has worn our country's uniform spends their night sleeping on the ground should horrify us. And so it's truly our duty to right this wrong and put an end to veteran homelessness once and for all." As she addressed the 2014 National Conference on Ending Homelessness, "I remarked at the time that if she ever took the time to write her own material or actually listen to the words that she is saying, she might understand the overwhelming irony of that statement. As most veterans know, if you have ever served in the military, you likely have spent more than one night sleeping on the damn ground, be it dirt, mud, sand, snow, or even worse. Sleeping not only in the generally safe streets of America, but on the ground in some far-off hellhole, far away from those you love, to protect those back here at home so that they can safely sleep in their beds at night, knowing that there are those willing to sacrifice for our freedoms. Now, I would like to say that I am certain that her heart is in the right place, but you do have to wonder how that wasn't cleaned up by some highly paid speechwriter. But I digress. The First Lady's remarks also touted another statistic, that nearly 100 local leaders had pledged to end homelessness among veterans in their communities by the end of 2015 as a part of the mayor's challenge to end veterans homelessness, and that the initiative had commitments from 182 communities from across the country, including Chicago, Atlanta, Baltimore, Boston, Los Angeles, Seattle, Dallas, and Miami. She went on to say, quote, "This issue isn't just about data and budget proposals or long-term plans. In the end," she said, "ending veteran homelessness is about people. It's about connecting people to each other and the resources they need." At that time, nearly a year and a half ago, the Obama administration claimed to have helped more than 60,000 veterans and their family members avoid becoming homeless in 2013 under a program called Supportive Services for Veteran Families. You may recall that that number alone should have just about wiped out the problem for homeless veterans, since the numbers had been going south of 60,000 for about a year. But I am certain that someone in the VA in charge of cooking the books, I mean crunching the numbers, has figured out a way that 60,000 minus 60,000 equals, well, 60,000. And so it is no surprise that with the beginning of the new year 2016 came another round of horse hockey and fictitious accounting from the folks in the Beltway when it comes to our veterans. You see, they couldn't admit that there was no homelessness or that homelessness was a failure, so they created a new category of lies, functional zero. Yes. Functional zero is a term that has been created by a government drone for a situation where all known homeless persons in a specific population, in this case veterans, meet the definition of homelessness and are housed within 10 days of being identified as such. Many of the cities throughout the nation, including the home of our flagship station in Mobile, Alabama, have been granted the designation of functionally zero homeless veterans. Mobile actually received its designation in September of 2015, with many other cities, including Biloxi and Gulfport, Mississippi, whose mayors received personal phone calls from, get this, not VA Secretary Bob, as you might expect, but the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Julian Castro. That's right. Much like the women running for the Democratic nomination for the White House, VA Secretary Bob was too busy to make the call or take the call. No word on whether a shillong was involved. Interestingly enough, New York did not receive a phone call, but the communist in charge, Mayor Bill de Blasio, simply declared an end to what he called, quote, chronic veterans homelessness. One can only imagine that this is similar to ending chronic government union corruption, except that the chronically homeless are rounded up and forced into taxpayer-funded housing while the chronically corrupt government unions are forced to take terminal leave, sitting at home watching Netflix on the taxpayer dime. Not much of a difference if you think about it. It's all on somebody else's dime. Nonetheless, the most often quoted statistic of the number of homeless veterans at its peak was about 300,000. So if over the last few years we've helped veterans, then we should be damn near close to getting that 300,000 to zero. Of course, you and I know that this will never happen. Oh, we will hear great stories of achievements in certain areas where the homeless veterans are no longer probably ridden out of town to make room for the next busload of illegal aliens. But in the end, the problem will still exist, just as the Department of Housing and Urban Development admitted in under the radar press release. There is no way to truly stop veterans' homelessness from the federal level. No amount of money will stop it, just as no number of bombs will stop ISIS. But in the harsh reality of individual veterans and their families, and in the ever crueler world of Beltway politics, because you understand that those efforts to end veterans' homelessness means big bucks coming from the federal government to all of the community organizers throughout this nation. And those dollars mean more parasites feeding at the government trough. And for the few veterans that actually are helped by the government, it means that they now own you. Because in the end, this is all about transforming veterans from a staunchy, reliable, conservative voting bloc into a newly tapped resource for liberal progressives to keep under their thumb by reminding you every 4 years that it was only through their big hearts spending other people's tax dollars that you made your way from the cruel streets to government housing, and that it could go all the way if you don't keep voting them back in. So it's just that easy. Warriors to welfare queens. Don't say we didn't warn you. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton.
Where's your drill sergeant, men?
Load up, sir!
Load up, sir!
So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack!
That's the fact, Jack!
Do
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a couple of Marines with just a little bit to say, the First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it. And, you know, Tom, that's one that we pulled out of the archives there. And not only because it still is very relevant, but, you know, one of the comments that you made in that tirade is that the priorities for homeless veterans versus these illegal immigrants in terms of
right.
Priorities and housing.
Right. We could have done that tape today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that was one of the reasons why I pulled it up, because, you know, we've been hearing stories here and there of these nonprofits who've got contracts to house veterans.
Right.
And what they're doing is they are voiding those contracts, kicking the veterans out, because they can make more money putting the illegal aliens in there.
Yes. So true.
And you know, it's happening throughout the country. And, of course, the homeless problem in the U.S. was bad before the aliens started coming in. You know, we were seeing even before then in certain cities, big cities primarily, where in a lot of places where they had legalized drugs.
Right, right.
Where these beautiful cities suddenly had folks that just decided they wanted to camp out on the sidewalks and get high all the time.
Yep. Did you see where the those seven or eight or nine guys that beat up that cop in New York City, that they went all the way to I think New Mexico and got them when they come off of the bus out there and brought them back to New York City? They cut them a deal. They're not even gonna get any time. A slap on the wrist.
Well, I think they're going to get minimal time to 1 or 2 years maybe. But, I mean, you know, here's the thing. If you're a resident of New York and these – and they're basically gang members.
They are.
They've been brought in from whatever the country is. You know, if they feel like they can attack a cop – who is armed?
Right.
What do you think they're going to do to, you know, the nice little lady who's walking down the street? You think they're going to have any problems with doing something with that?
They were talking about that today on Fox News, that the lady was sitting at the table here the other day, and there was a lady sitting down and had a big cut all the way across the side of her face. And these kids, teenagers or whatever, the gangsters, they're from Argentina, and they had a glove on that had broken glass in it. And they slapped her across the face and cut her face. And she said she's not the only one, that 12 of her other friends in the same neighborhoods have gotten the same thing has happened to it.
Yeah.
That's BS, Cal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well... And we're short on time, but I brought this up because there was a story. This is out of Massachusetts, but the Republicans who are in the minority up there had actually brought up a bill. They wanted to provide an amendment that would provide statewide shelter priority to U.S. military veterans over migrants.
Hell yes!
And every House Democrat, except for two, voted against it. They're voting for the illegals versus
right.
our veterans.
Right.
And I'll just tell you, and I can see this happening elsewhere.
It
but
is.
But remember, you voted for this up in Massachusetts.
Yes. Yep, yes, they
absolutely.
Did.
Absolutely. Hey, That's going to bring us to the close of tonight's edition of the Scuttlebutt Network radio program. Hey, God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. And we will catch you on the other side.
Hoorah!